At the beginning, energetic intimacy can feel overwhelming. You feel their mood shift before they speak. You sense tension before it's acknowledged. You carry emotions that don't feel yours entirely. But as the connection matures, energetic intimacy no longer feels intrusive. It becomes discernible. It is no longer something that floods you. It is something you can recognize without absorbing. Many people think, well, they're too sensitive. In truth, they've never been taught the difference between feeling and fusing. In today's Mystical Minds, we're exploring what energetic intimacy actually is and how to feel another's emotional frequency without losing your own. Because sacred intimacy isn't about merging, it's about remaining coherent while connected. I'd like to welcome you to the Mystical Minds podcast. I'm your host, Allie Thies. I'm the creator of Out-of-Body Ecstasy, which is the anytime, anywhere orgasmic experience. With over 40 years of experience as a psychic, energy worker, and soul connection specialist. Over the years, I've written 8 books, with book 9, Soulful Connections, scheduled for release in 2026. I've been walking the mystical path since childhood, and now I help others reconnect with their true selves through intuitive readings, soul work, and the safe, sacred space of the Mystical Minds community. This podcast is your invitation to explore the magical, metaphysical, and the wildly mysterious side of life. From energy healing to spirit guides, soulmates to sacred rituals, nothing is off limits here. So grab your tea, light a candle, and let's dive into the mystery together. Now, I want to remind you that alongside the telepathic subliminals that I released last month, I've also added new dream-focused and astral-focused audios, and they're designed to support dream recall, lucid awareness, subtle astral perception, and safe grounded exploration of energy intimacy. Oh, yes. So check them out at outofbodyecstasy.com. Now we got some big stuff, energy, astrological wise, coming up tomorrow, Tuesday, February 17, 2026. First of all, we have the Aquarius new moon. A new moon in Aquarius, it marks the beginning of a fresh cycle around innovation, collective consciousness, independence, higher vision, future-oriented thinking, community and networks, and authentic self-expression. Aquarius energy is not emotional in the traditional sense. It's visionary, it's detached, and it really is observational. This new moon asks, where am I thinking too small? Where am I conforming instead of innovating? What future am I ready to design, right? Because the new moon, it's all about planting intention, but not taking action quite yet. Aquarius favors clarity over drama and strategy over impulse. This is a powerful time for setting intentions around community, reimagining long-term goals, releasing outdated identities, and aligning with purpose-driven work. Now, with all of this, we also have tomorrow the solar eclipse energy. And the new moon is tied to the solar eclipse window. When this happens, the energy intensifies. A solar eclipse represents sudden shifts, accelerated timelines, destiny pivots, course corrections, and external change that forces internal clarity. Think of the new moon as seeds and the solar eclipse as the fertilizer. Fast growth. Eclipse energy tends to reveal what's been hidden, collapse unstable structures, speed up decisions that have been delayed. Now, the Aquarius eclipse themes specifically activate social roles, collective movements, technology, relationships to groups or causes, and personal freedom versus obligation. Eclipses remove what no longer fits the future you are stepping into. And you know what? They don't ask it politely. They kind of force your butt into transformation. And if that wasn't exciting enough, we also have the Chinese New Year tomorrow, Year of the Fire Horse. Good Lord, I know. The fire horse combines, well, we've got the horse, which is independence, momentum, charisma, and movement. And we have fire, passion, intensity, courage, visibility. Together, the fire horse energy carries bold action. This is not the time to be a pansy during the fire horse. You got to get yourself out there and make that effing move, okay? So bold action, personal drive, leadership impulses. This is a good time to take those risks. Expressive power, so those who are creative. Fast moving change. Now, fire horse years, man, they're not quiet. They're just not. They favor brave decisions, visible reinvention, taking initiative, breaking free from stagnation, and they do not favor at all hesitation, getting stuck in your head with over analysis, and playing small so you fit in. No. The horse is a forward moving, the fire element accelerates it, and this new year is all about motion. So how do these energies interact? When you combine the Aquarius new moon, which is a future vision, the solar eclipse, which is a timeline shift, and fire horse year, which is bold momentum, you get a period of rapid realignment. This is not subtle energy. Oh, hell no. Themes you may notice during this time. Sudden clarity about who you are becoming. Changes in your social circles. A desire to step into more visible roles. Restlessness around outdated commitments. Increased intuitive insight about long-term direction. Aquarius builds the blueprint. The eclipse shifts the timeline, and the fire horse moves your butt. So the energetic takeaway for tomorrow, the 17th, God, what an energetic day. This isn't the week to shrink. It's just not. This is the week to define your direction, to release outdated roles, to set visionary intentions, and to trust the forward momentum. If something leaves you, it was supposed to. It's making space for alignment. If something accelerates, man, it was already in motion, but behind the scenes before. The invitation is quite simple. Think future, move boldly, and stay authentic. Wow. What a week we got coming up to start tomorrow. I bet you some of you can feel the energy already. I know I can. I didn't sleep very well last night at all. And I was up at 5:30 in the morning. And anybody who really knows me, 5:30 in the morning, oh no. I get up at like 10, 11 in the morning, not 5:30. But I didn't even lay in bed. I rolled out of bed and got to move on the day. Not like me whatsoever. So I'm already getting the energy. So let's pull the card of the week. This week I'm using Keepers of the Light Oracle Cards by Kyle Gray. So let us see what we pull for this week. I'm sure it's going to be interesting, to say the least. Now, I've got two cats here. I've got Xena and then her mama, Sweet Pea, who have taken over again my desk, as they do on a daily basis. After breakfast, here they come. Huh, Xena Lowiness. That's right, girl. You guys just camp out here. My mom is working. Huh. Sorry, Sweet Pea. Didn't mean to wake you up. So let us see what card for the week. Ooh. Let's see this one. What do we have? Ah, Hilarion, which is all about divine healing. Honor your sensitivity. Recharge and heal. Your light can support others. Boy, with the real fire energy we have this week, and this card is telling us to take care of ourselves, listen to our heart, retreat a little bit, and recharge. because this week is going to be energetically exhausting. It really will. So it doesn't surprise me that this card was chosen for us. And with the fire horse and all these energies, I mean, your sensitivity is going to be off the Richter scale. So take some time this week. Just take a little bit of alone time. If you can't find alone time in your house, go to the bathroom. Go to the bathroom, close the door, and lock it. Sometimes, especially moms, that is the only place where you can get some peace from the household. But unfortunately, if you have lots of animals like me, closing the door and locking it really doesn't work because you see the little paws coming under the door, still trying to get you no matter what. But yeah, this week, Hilaron, divine healing, but honoring your sensitivity this week because, again, energy off the Richter scale. When you need to, retreat to recharge and heal. And your light can support others. And I like that light, your light can support others because this week is all about forward motion. So you might want to think about that, about how your light can support others. Just, it's someone that's forward thinking this week. All right? All right. Now the mystical item of the week is blue kyanite, which I just love. And I wrote nothing about it. Good going, Allie. Where you didn't transfer your notes over. Oh, where is it? Yeah. I thought I was doing well. That's what I get for getting up early and not having enough coffee this morning yet. Had half a cup. All right. Come on. Where you at? Blue kyanite. There we are. For God's sakes. Okay. Blue kyanite is known as the alignment stone. That's why I picked it. Unlike crystals, some crystals, it doesn't absorb energy. It doesn't store emotion. It doesn't need any clearing. It moves energy into alignment without merging fields, which makes it ideal for energetic intimacy. When you are deeply attuned to someone, emotional signals can blur. Blue kyanite helps you distinguish, well, what is yours and what energy is theirs and what you're sharing in between your shared atmosphere. It supports connection without collapse. Energetic intimacy requires clarity. Clarity requires alignment. Blue kyanite works with the throat and energetic... It's in my head and I can't say it. Medrins. Oh, for crying out loud. But they encourage clean communication. Medrins. Damn it. Even when no words are spoken, maybe I just should have just left it with no words are spoken. It reminds your system that you can feel deeply without caring deeply. You can remain connected without absorbing. So, you know, if you have some blue kyanite, if you don't have some, I definitely recommend getting some. You can't go wrong with it. You can hold your blue kyanite during a calm moment. Okay. Notice how your body feels when you're centered. And later, if you sense someone else's energy entering your field, touch the stone and just ask yourself, am I aligned or am I merging? There's no correction. We don't correct here. This is just awareness for you, okay? Blue kyanite strengthens your sovereignty within intimacy. And sovereignty makes telepathic bonds sustainable. Yes, it does. Now, let's go into what energetic intimacy actually is. Energetic intimacy is the ability to perceive emotional frequency shifts without verbal communication. It's the moment you sense something has changed before it is spoken. It is subtle awareness that someone's internal landscape has moved. When two people are connected through resonance, their nervous systems influence one another. The influence is not dramatic, it's rhythmic. You could notice your breathing changes when theirs does. A subtle heaviness may enter your chest, a quickening in your body before a conversation, a wave of emotion that feels relational. Energetic intimacy is heightened attunement. It develops through safety, trust, repeated emotional presence, and regulated nervous systems. When a connection is stable, perception becomes more precise. The key is not to increase your sensitivity. It's you're trying to increase steadiness. All right? Now, feeling emotion versus carrying emotion. There is a profound difference between sensing emotion and carrying emotion. Sensing is informational. Carrying is embodied weight. Sensing allows you to observe an emotional shift with awareness. Carrying internalizes the shift and treats it as your responsibility. Many people learned early that closeness meant emotional management. You may have learned to stabilize others, to preempt tension, to regulate the atmosphere, to anticipate disruption. That conditioning can follow yourself into being an adult, right? And being involved in adult relationships and adult intimacy. Energetic intimacy does not require emotional management. When you sense someone's sadness, anger, or anxiety, you are receiving data. That data does not require ownership. When emotional awareness is paired with sovereignty, intimacy deepens. You can feel what is present while remaining rooted in yourself. Now, telepathic intimacy becomes clear when the nervous system is regulated. A regulated nervous system usually looks like you can process information accurately, you can maintain your boundaries, and you can differentiate yourself from others. When regulation is present, you can feel another person's frequency without shifting your own baseline. This can create emotional clarity, of course, and clarity allows for discernment, steady response, and grounded empathy. When two regulated systems interact, communication often moves beneath language. You may notice shared mood shifts, synchronized timing, mutual knowing, and even a quiet agreement. This is energetic coherence, and coherence allows telepathic intimacy to remain stable over time. Now, emotional sovereignty within a sacred union. Sacred union thrives when both individuals remain energetically whole. It really does. Wholeness allows connection without collapse. And emotional sovereignty means I recognize your emotion. I honor your emotion. I remain rooted in mine. When sovereignty is present, empathy becomes cleaner. Responses become intentional. And of course, communication becomes precise. You can offer presence without absorbing somebody else's emotional charge. You can remain steady when someone else is processing. The steadiness strengthens trust. Trust strengthens the telepathic flow. And the telepathic flow strengthens sacred union. Sovereignty is not distant. It is clarity. All right? Now, energetic alignment as an ongoing practice. This is what I do. Energetic intimacy is not a one-time achievement. It is not. It is an ongoing calibration because you're going to have dozens, hundreds, thousands of interactions with other souls. And one of the first things when I feel an emotion that feels off for myself, because whatever I'm doing at that time, I first ask myself, is this me or somebody else? And when I stop and pay attention and I ask myself that question, 9 out of 10 times it really is somebody else. So then I ask, well, do I feel centered at all? Does my energy feel vertical or is it scattered? Am I responding from alignment? Okay, because remember, alignment creates sustainability. And when you remain centered, your perception sharpens, your emotional fatigue decreases, intimacy feels spacious, and I'm telling you, when you realize that the emotions you feel are not your own, you don't think you're going nuts, which really is a bonus. And the blue kyanite we talked about earlier, it supports vertical alignment. So when your energy feels upright and grounded, emotional information can move through you without accumulating. It doesn't get stuck in the heart chakra. This is what makes long-term sacred union possible. Connection becomes lighter, communication becomes quieter, and intimacy becomes sustainable. So your soul work for the week is alignment within intimacy. Okay, it's about alignment, not connection. So choose a neutral moment every day. Hold your blue kyanite or place it nearby. If you don't have blue kyanite, you can use an amethyst, which of course I recommend an amethyst to be in everybody's home. You can pause and ask yourself, what does aligned connection feel like in my body right now? Okay, notice your posture. Okay, you up? Are you slumped over? Notice your breath. Are you taking deep breaths? Are they shallow? How are you breathing? Notice where your energy is centered at. Is it my energy? I can tell it's centered in my heart chakra. That's what really pulses for me nowadays. Aligned and intimacy can feel steady, vertical, grounded, spacious. And if your body feels pulled outward, gently return to the center, which is the heart chakra. Alignment may look like maybe lengthening your exhale a little bit, relaxing your jaw, stacking your spine, so sitting straight up, allowing your energy to settle downward into your hips and feet. Lightly touch the blue kyanite and let your body recalibrate to steadiness. Stay there for about 30 seconds if you could. And at the end of the week, let's have a little bit of reflection. When I remain aligned, how does connection feel? How does steadiness change my perception of others' emotions? What shifts when I stay centered with intimacy? Energetic intimacy deepens through alignment. Connection becomes clear when your energy is steady. And steadiness is something you can return to at any moment. So sacred intimacy is not about merging into one emotional body. It's about remaining whole while connected. This month in Mystical Minds, it's all about refining energetic bonds, about learning how telepathy moves, how resonance stabilizes, how sovereignty protects your sacred union with soulmates and twin flame. Next week, we'll explore a bit of the divine feminine and the divine masculine energy, and how polarity influences telepathic exchange. Until then, please feel without collapsing, sense without absorbing, stay centered enough to remain clear, because sacred union does not require you to disappear inside of it. It requires you to stay whole. And that's a wrap on this episode of Mystical Minds. I hope it sparks something inside of you, a memory, a knowing, maybe a nudge from your soul. And don't forget your soul work for the week. You'll find it under resources for episode. If you loved what you explored today, don't keep it to yourself. Share this episode with someone who needs a little magic in their life. And if you're craving more, join the Mystical Minds group. It's a safe, sacred space to explore everything from energy work to soul connections, intuition, spirit guides, and more. You'll find support, community, and your peeps. You can also book a private reading, energy work, or soul session with me anytime at outofbodyecstasy.com. I've got you whether you're seeking clarity, healing, or maybe a deeper connection to your soul path. Until next time, let's stay grounded, stay curious, and remember, endless possibilities, infinite you.